morning, Mr. President.
Well, I just had a long talk with John Mitchell. He's sees the thing pretty much the same way we do. He's really got his fingers in a lot of those pies, isn't he, at Mitchell Estate? He doesn't let people know what he's doing.
He's an amazing fella, you know. Everybody
he knows everybody. He knows what they're doing. And,
yeah, he really is. He's
amazing.
He's very good that way.
Is there any way to keep this thing alive? I mean, keep the before to the convention. Why, he'll think of it, but it's going to be quite a problem. He told me that Muskie was going to do the press club tomorrow.
Well, we're afraid Muskie's going to drop out, Mr. President. I just had a call from
John felt that too.
Yeah, it looks, well, it's not even 50-50 right now. He's inclined to get out and or get on the McGovern bandwagon. He's afraid if he doesn't now that McGovern will be vengeful, and which is true.
Vengeful, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is he that kind of guy?
He is that kind of guy. And that Muskie, if he has any interest in the future of the Democratic Party, had better get on. Most of Muskie's advisors are telling him now to join forces with McGovern. Dwayne Andreas called McGregor this morning and said, if you fellows have any ties into Muskie, for Christ's sake, tell him to stay in there, because Hubert is very, very elated over his showing in California. He thinks he can cut McGovern. He thinks that he has now some plans to really take him on very, very hard on the issues. And wants to continue to do it and fight him right down to the wire. But if Muskie folds, there isn't anything, nothing more to be fought.
It's all over, huh?
It's all over. So I'm going to call. I've got some friends who can get to Felix Royden, who was a big Muskie fundraiser at one point, and just see if we can't keep Muskie shored up. Hell of a state to be in. It was only 4 months ago we were trying to destroy the guy. Now we'd like to see him stay in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's quite important, I think, tactically and strategically, because if we can keep Muskie in the ball game, what that does, of course, is to keep Hubert alive. And Hubert now Hubert is convinced that his debates
cut the margin,
cut into McGovern.
Yeah.
That if he'd had another week to go, he would have beaten him. And that if he keeps up the debate between now and Miami, he may deny him the nomination.
Yeah.
And that apparently is his aim. So, and he's being fed on that by Andreas, who sent him $100,000 yesterday to keep it up. So, from our standpoint, it's in our interest to see these fellows keep going.
Of course, of course.
And not let it run away.
Whether we can or not, whether we can do anything about it remains to be seen.
Yeah, it's tough.
Many of the same types of people that support McGovern supported Muskie, so they would tend to sort of, you know what I mean? They're sort
That's
of
the difficulty. Yeah, Muskie went the left approach.
Yeah.
He went.
Muskie had chosen that way, and that's why it's going to be damn hard.
Yes, it is. And it's going to be hard for, it's really hard for Muskie to resist. You know, he's got no future at this point in time, and at his age, and as bad as he did this year. And he may hope for cabinet post someday, or the vice presidency. I still think he'd like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll do our best on that one.
Yeah.
If we can't.
Well, I figured that certainly Hubert ought to take some comfort out of the California thing. I must say that I don't know, the press plays it in a mixed way, from what I would say. They want us to have McGovern with a sweep, and on the other hand, they say, well, he didn't do quite as well as was thought. And
that's right.
Sort of a mixed foot. Is that your analysis?
Yes, sir. My analysis is that at this point in time, thus far, it has been mixed. Some of them have given credit for Humphrey making a last-minute surge. Others are saying, well, McGovern made a tactical decision to slow down spending because he knew he had California won, which is Jackass analysis. That was NBC had that last night.
Yeah.
Some are saying, like Evans and Novak today, that that maybe they found the Achilles heel of McGovern. There hasn't been enough yet that his extremism is showing, but Clausen tells me an interesting thing. He said that he talks to all the working-level reporters, and they all say this, but then when you see it in print, it's kind of purified. It's the media really want to protect this guy.
Sure they do.
But we can bust through it. Mitchell is having a press conference, as he probably told you today, and nice way. I think he can be. I think we can do it from our side. We can do it in a nice way. The other side, particularly the Humphrey operation, if it stays alive, will do it in a very strong way. Yeah. Now, one thing that we did get out last night very successfully was the fact that this is the McGovern market, the stock market. I don't know whether you saw that, but one of the networks picked it up, and the papers this morning have got it. Analysts, brokers and analysts are saying that the market is going down the last few days because of the fear of McGovern being nominated.
Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff, because a hell of a lot of middle America owns stock, or at least if they don't own stock, they're worried about they want the stock market to be healthy.
That's right.
So this is one where I think we can, our friends on the street may give us a little break if they keep talking that way.
There's no other reason for it to go down, is there?
No, there isn't. And my God, the economic indicators are just tremendous. They really are.
That's all right. Let it go down.
Well, it's following a good, healthy pattern, and it'll be at 1,000 in another 6 or 8 weeks, and that's great. But if there's a little temporary scare, the people think that the market will collapse if McGovern's nominated, that can't do anything but help us.
I don't know. I don't really think, Chuck, there would be anybody that could get to a Muskie, though. The fellow you mentioned, just a financial contributor, you know, you got to get a fellow to get to a fellow like Muskie. You got to get to him through a political man.
Well, what I was hoping was that if Royden, who was the chairman of his finance committee, could get to Hughes of Iowa, who apparently has more influence on Muskie than anybody, and just talk Harold Hughes into holding firm. Now, the trouble is that Hughes, of course, was kind of pro-McGovern at one point.
Yeah. The other point would be to do this. It would be to get, if you could get the fellow like Hollings of the Senate Campaign Committee,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the kind who could say, good God, don't let this fellow get the nomination. They're going to hold senators and congressmen to go.
Oh, that's a good point.
I think his Senate Campaign Committee and House Campaign Committees could say, look, we just can't run with him on the ticket. Stay in there. Stay in there.
Yeah, that's very good. And that could be that. I know how to arrange that.
Yeah. I'll tell you, though, he's really something. I mean, when you think of ideas, and he's, you know, he says he's going to go to Hanoi now.
Isn't that the damnedest thing?
God almighty, I mean, you can, you know what I mean? It's like Eisenhower going to Korea. Well, that was a different matter. But this, he'd go to Hanoi.
I just can't believe, Mr. President, that he's going to be able to sell that stuff. You know, as Mitchell and I talked this morning, the guy has never gotten more than, say, 40% of the Democrats who turn out to vote in a primary.
Sure.
And Massachusetts, where he got his biggest percentage, he still only got 10% of the voters in the state voted for him.
Yeah.
He does not have a big constituency. You know, it's not. And I just can't help but believe, I watched that last night on television, it's just horrible.
Yeah.
The press know what's happening. Bob Novak, who's been very helpful to us, and I had...
They know it, but they won't say anything.
Well, Novak's saying it. Oh, God, he was on... he did that little Metro Media commentary last night, right our line. He said, if McGovern is nominated, this is an historic opportunity for the Republicans. It probably gives them their first opportunity. Nixon will sweep a first opportunity at the Congress. Nixon will sweep the Senate and the House in with him. Most Democratic politicians fear. I mean, he gave that very good pitch for us, and his column today was good. And that'll get out into the media. We may not have gotten it as much on the first blush of California as we would like, but
we can't. It's not our. It's the Democrats' job to do it. I mean, they don't pay attention to what we say.
That's right. Well, except through you know, personal relationships.
Oh, sure.
If we can plant it here and there, it begins to. If it gets into their consciousness, if they start thinking in these terms, the press, they all follow one line.
Right.
Bob Finch this morning said he was going to take on Field, and we'll see.
I think he does.
Well, Putnam just tore hell out of him last
night. Did he?
Yeah.
What did he say?
Well, he said he was shoddy, inaccurate, liberal biased. He also called McGovern all sorts of names. He'll probably end up getting called into the FCC again. But
good.
Our people called him, and he was, boy, he had some
the liberal side. He never makes a mistake on the conservative side. That's
right.
My point.
That's right.
I mean, if he made a mistake on the conservative side just once, then you'd think that maybe it was just an honest mistake, but it's deliberate.
Exactly.
But on this one, where he was dead wrong on the Proposition 9 and then dead wrong on the other one, boy.
Yeah, he covered himself on Proposition 9. On his second poll, he called that one correctly. The first one, he was off, and then he came back and did a second one and showed it losing. But we don't have him on that one as we hope to have. But we're not referring to that. We're just referring to his first poll. But
yeah, that's right.
Forget about the second one. You don't play clean with a fellow like that.
No, sir.
Because he doesn't play that way. Did you see by any chance, Mr. President, the Reston column yesterday, which
no,
of course the Times and the Star ran.
No.
Well, this really probably does us more good. He's got some anti-Nixon jabs in here than anything else, because it's a liberal writing about a liberal. And he talks about how George McGovern is convinced that the nation wants radical change, uses the phrase, that the nation wants to revolutionize the tax structure and redistribute the wealth of the nation, McGovern believes. Then it says, President Nixon and his aides are eager to fight the issue on that ground. And Reston says, what is interesting and puzzling about this is that McGovern keeps getting the support of workers and suburbanites who are normally supposed to be against his radical foreign policy, defense, and welfare programs. Then it goes on, and many people are telling McGovern that by keeping on arguing his radical programs, he may win the nomination but lose both the election in November and Democratic control of the state capitals and the Congress. And he says, still, McGovern keeps betting on his radical programs and his young army of radical organizers. His argument is very simple. People want this kind of a change. And then he goes on to conclude, it's a fascinating column coming from Reston, McGovern probably cannot win on his policies. Even his own party is badly divided on them. And he may even lose control of the Congress if he continues to insist on them. But he is a plain, simple character, and it may be that that is his only hope. And he goes on, after 5 years of political expediency under Johnson and Nixon, the city is, at least this city is sick of the hucksters who argue for more of the same, more war, bigger defense budgets. McGovern, at least, is arguing an honest line. And he said, we are faced with radical problems, and we need radical solutions. And it says he will probably win New York, but Stop McGovern movement won't succeed. And he will still be, however, in trouble and still be counting on bad news in Vietnam and the economy to help him in the election. It's a devastating piece, you know. That's the kind of thing that...
Of course, all these things, Reston really believes in himself, you know.
Well, that's the point. And what he's saying in
here... Always has. He just now and then covers it up, but he's a total radical himself.
Well, he's written this in a... Oh, he's a complete radical. Jesus. He's written this in the sort of wistful tones of a radical columnist saying, here's this honest, simple guy, and he is a radical, and he's proposing radical things, and he's probably going to lose. So it's a...
But that's one of the things, of course, that's a terribly effective thing to get out. In other words, to quote the liberal New York Times columnist, quote,
exactly right. I thought we would take this thing and...
Don't put the whole thing out.
No.
The difficulty with our people, we're always putting out too much, but just put out two or three lines. The Frank Leonard approach, basically.
That's right.
Leonard is the only one that does really effective things there, that stuff he does for Monday after trips and so forth. But
did you see the latest that he put out yesterday?
No, I didn't. I didn't see that.
Oh, he's got a marvelous one, Mr. President.
What's it on this time?
On the Russian trip.
And oh, yeah.
He's done a beautiful job.
He did such a fine job on the China trip.
Yes, he did. I got very angry at Frank because he didn't put enough of the Tanya speech in, which I told him was probably more important than the speech when you came home. But he has the the page of headlines in there, and it's President proved pundits wrong. Richard Nixon seized initiative, took the risk, took the journey.
Isn't that good?
Prudent, painstaking statescraft. And he's got some of the best pictures out of the trip. He's got a 16-page job, a lot of them on Mrs. Nixon, and
fingerprints of this may be obtained by sending it to so-and-so.
That's a
but, you know, he's a genius at this, but that's the thing, the way to do political stuff is not to give them too much. Pick three or four little simple things and just hang them with that.
Mm-hmm.
And,
what we could do is just take out of this rest in peace a couple of...
that's what I meant.
A couple of phrases here where he says, if he keeps on arguing his radical program, radical program, Reston calls McGovern's program radical. That's all about better than anybody else calling it. But I think some of this kind of thing we can start building on, Mr. President. And
well, look, here's the whole point. This time, let's look what we could have had. We could have had Muskie, and that would have been a tough kitty. In any event, you know, because of the fact that he doesn't have many enemies.
That's right.
We could have had Humphrey. Well, probably not as tough, except that he would have still kept the establishment in the labor crowd.
Yeah, the adrenaline in the party would have moved.
Yeah. No, we could have Teddy with all the problems that have. So, with all the problems, you know, I know there are those that are constantly stuck telling us how strong McGovern is and the argument of how well he did in South Dakota and so forth and so on. First, we've got to understand that winning in South Dakota or Maine doesn't prove you can win nationally.
No,
in two different leagues. More importantly, though, the point is that if we're going to have, when you've got here a fellow that deliberately takes the ultra-radical extremist view, that's what we ought to have. That's the kind of candidate we want.
It's perfect.
And so, therefore, you go after it. And it's well, of course, to get everybody steamed up and scared as possible about this and say that the media are supporting him and so forth and so on, and that we will do.
Mm-hmm.
It's well, however, for us to bear in mind that we must not allow the fact that he has this media support move us from the right to the center.
Oh, boy.
I told John Mitchell that today. I said, and John totally agreed. I said, John, it'll blur the image. I mean, it'll blur the debate. If we start, that's the trouble with Hubert's attack on McGovern would have been infinitely stronger if Hubert had moved a little bit right.
Mm-hmm.
And then so you had a little valley between them. But you're not going to have any valley between me and them if I were to go out with take Elliot Richardson's program for accepting Ribicoff's welfare.
No.
Why the hell should I do that?
Awful.
I'm not going to do it.
No.
See, that's a wrong tactic here. I don't draw the issue that way.
No, that's right. Dead wrong tactic, Mr. President. The thing that our whole game in this campaign and our people have, I know Mitchell understands this, and our people have got to understand it, is that A, we run a very positive campaign on your world leadership.
That
one of the great statesmen of this century, and it's true, and even our critics in the media are acknowledging it. I mean, yet nobody is knocking you on this. This we have all to ourselves. And then on the domestic side, you run a negative campaign. You, McGovern wants to do this, by God, we're against that. The Democratic platform would cost $400 billion. By God, we're against that. He wants to legalize marijuana. We're not going to do that. You know, just hitting him on his weak issues domestically.
Just knocking his brains out.
Yeah, and don't try to outdo him. There was a conversation at the 8:15 meeting this morning where a number of people said, let's get the president more active on his domestic programs, revenue sharing.
Oh, shit.
And I said, my God, just keep...
Not revenue sharing, please.
No, I said, just keep the president on the pedestal that he's on right now. When he has a press conference, let him talk about the changing conditions in the world that are leading us to peace and the hope for peace. And we're moving a step closer to peace and a step further away from the dangers of nuclear war. And this is what, you know, this is our long suit. And it is.
Well, the point is, why talk about the other fellow's issue? The other fellow's issue is they all want to talk about let's clean up the ghettos and all that sort of thing. Now, damn it, that's not our issue.
No, and that's not where our votes are.
Yeah.
That is really not where our votes are.
And getting me out there, I mean, go to the county, I mean, meeting a county commissioner or this or that. Hell, let Agnew do that.
Yep.
That's his job.
Yep, exactly.
He can get out there.
You did one yesterday that is marvelous because it took none of your time, and yet it got extensive media coverage, television as well as radio and well as in print. We sent a telegram to the governor's conference in which we urged the states to pass no-fault automobile insurance.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's a very popular consumer issue. I think that's the kind of thing where it puts you in a good posture.
Right.
The only people who oppose it are the tort lawyers, and the hell with them. There aren't that many of them.
God, yes.
No, that's right, that's right.
And Connecticut, it's been enormously popular. They just cut the rates again in Massachusetts, and everybody thinks Frank Sargent's a hero. He's a jackass, but they all think he's a hero.
Hmm.
And now you're on that issue personally, and a very good telegram yesterday. It didn't take a nickel's worth of your time.
That sort of thing I'm all for.
Yep. And going home in the car radio last night, they were quoting from your statement on it, and then it was on TV, and it's in the press.
That's great. Incidentally, another good break we got was another good Supreme Court decision yesterday, too.
Oh, we've gotten a series of those.
Wasn't that great, you know, about the Potter Stewart and our four judges?
Uh-huh.
And I think if you could tell the PR people, I haven't seen much chuck of them using it, but you think they ought to use how Nixon's changed the court?
Yeah,
what do you think? Are we doing that or not?
We are doing it, Mr. President. There's been a pretty good amount of that. I think I've been impressed at the amount of coverage we've gotten on that. It's been quite a bit since
some of our. I was thinking of giving it to our speakers too. You know, when they talk about things, oh, we've changed the court. And, I mean, peace at home as well as peace abroad. A little of that.
Yeah, that's exactly
and,
right. Domestic peace.
And make it damn clear that we had nothing to do with Angela Davis's case here.
Yeah, oh, Jesus, yes. The Richmond decision helps us because that was handed down by.
Yeah.
I think we're in marvelous shape right now. people do not believe that the Vietnam conflict will be resolved anytime in the near future, which is, I think, helpful. They're not expecting a solution. And 79% want an end, but a majority oppose a coalition government. 75-13, they say the U.S. should stay involved until all American prisoners of war have been released. They favor a ceasefire, 2-1. Every finding in this Harris poll is exactly opposite from the government position. And
it's good.
And really does, it's the best one Harris has had on the Vietnam War. But he firmly believes that issue has turned and that you now have a very, very good support on that. I mean, it's not a question of neutralizing the issue. It's a question of it being a positive, really.
Getting back to this busing thing, you mean that these silly amendments that the Congress puts in, the Congress is going to claim it has handled the busing issue?
That's what they'll say, yep. That's the difficulty with it. You see, they'll now take the position, well, we went through an elaborate conference. We came up with a very good compromise solution, and this is it. And we're going to say, well, that you haven't solved the problem. And they're going to say, yeah, we solved the problem. So
yeah, well, the message, if we sign it, has got to say, not solved. Good God. I mean, this is a horrible bill. I mean, and the whole higher education thing is a mess anyway. It's a monstrosity.
It is. The money in there is just absurd. But
no, I may still veto it.
Well, it's
pass it around down there. It'll scare hell out of some of the left-wingers.
Oh, my God.
I just against the bill for other reasons.
If I pass that around today, they'd start jumping out windows here.
That's right.